You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
And the other thing we're doing, I might add, am I giving you too long an answer? Because if you don't want the detail. No, but I mean, I don't know how much detail you want about immigration. Maybe I'll stop there and finish. I believe we should go back to a position of the filibuster that existed just when I came to the United States Senate 120 years ago. So the best way to get something done, if you hold near and dear to you that you like to be able to. Anyway, we're ready to get a lot done.
Wow. That is President Biden yesterday fumbling around in that news conference, losing his train of thought. Also pointing out that we should handle it as I did when I was in the Senate 120 years ago. 120 years ago. That's been the subject of a lot of attacks and fun, that's for sure. March 26, 2021. And the fallout from the first Biden news conference coming on his 65th day in office is pretty wicked, even from the left. I mean, they absolutely hate to admit it, but from the left they had to admit, we didn't do so well. Let's get him back under wraps and covers again. And part of the storyline is that they had basically already preordained which reporters want to get to ask questions, and he was working from a script. He had a book manual with pictures of the reporters in it. Now, that's handed out to White House correspondents every year as others come and go so they can recognize colleagues and know them and so forth. And he relied on it as well. I would understand that. He hasn't been around reporters a heck of a lot, so it helps him at that point. I'm not going to go overboard on that point. But what does bother me, it appeared down the listing, you'd see numbers beside some of them. In other words, indicating this one first, this one second, this one third. And every one they picked, except for one, asked pretty much inane, stupid questions. And fawning over him, adoring him. I mean, you never saw that kind of attitude from the left when Trump was in office. I'm going to tell you something. As much as I have chastised Jim Acosta of CNN, as he always wanted to grandstand in front of Trump to get sound bites from himself to the president, challenging the president so it would look good on CNN and NN, and they'd have a lot to talk about, regardless of what the president said. As much as I've challenged on that, I'm going to tell you that if I had been in that room yesterday, I would have pulled a Jim Acosta. I would have stood up on the chair because there were chairs scattered. It had to be good 6 feet plus, I'm sure, all through the room, and maybe 20 reporters in there total. And as I would watch him go through and answer some of these and call on people and they were fawning, I would have stood up on the chair and said, stop this charade. Are we going to have a news conference or are you going to just be a PR reference for us? Oh, I would have gotten a lot of primetime coverage out of it. I would have. But I wouldn't have been doing it for my glory. Sure, I might have gotten some, but also there's a thin line between credit and blame. I might have got more blame than credit, but I would have done it. And here's the reason: for the journalistic integrity of a news conference. No one stood up and challenged it on that basis. We're going to break that down in a lot more detail coming up. And you're going to love some remarks from Trey Gowdy as he talked about how those reporters had a pillow fight with Trump. I mean, with Biden. That's about all it was. Also, we're going to be joined before we wrap up today by Sidney Powell, former attorney for Trump, of course, in some of the original vote challenges. She has claimed at that time and that Dominion voting systems rigged the election to defeat Trump. I know you're aware of it. When she was on air with us last time, I told her that Dominion was demanding she apologize. And in typical Sidney Powell response, she said, I'm not apologizing for a blooming thing. Oh, I'm anxious to get Sidney Powell back on the air today. Because now Dominion is suing her $1.3 billion. $1.3 billion they want from her. And she says now some of the reporters are putting out what she calls fake news regarding her defense. Fake news in the way they're presenting what her answer is to Dominion. Dominion also, by the way, stepping forward and suing Fox News. Oh, since we're talking about lawsuits, Michael Flynn is also suing CNN. Or maybe MSNBC. I forgot. I mean, we got lawsuits going, dum, dum, dum. Bullets. You got to dodge them, baby. We got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. We are going to get into Biden and how he handled the news conference, how he didn't, how the reporters just gave him kisses, kisses, and the Sidney Powell interview. You do not want to miss that. Let your friends and neighbors know we're on the air. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been for love. Never would have seen the trouble that I'm in if it hadn't been for love.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This is the hardest job in the world, a commanding 24/7 job. Ask yourself, is Joe Biden, in your view, the American people, up to the job to perform well, even in a press conference after practicing for days? What is he capable of doing? Anything? Because honestly, we now need to ask who's really running the show at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Is it Vice President Harris? Is it Chief of Staff Ron Klain? Is it Schumer? Is it Pelosi? Is it Barack Obama? Is it Susan Rice? Because it's certainly not the frail, the weak, and the cognitively struggling guy that we all witnessed today. If Joe Biden's not capable of doing the job, he shouldn't be in the job. So much is at stake. Our enemies are watching.
Our enemies are watching. Those are the words from Sean Hannity on his monologue last night, referenced the Biden interview. It's pretty harsh, but I think also very candid and calling some points to order that need to be addressed. The competency of Joe Biden has been under question for a long time. Even the other Democrat candidates, when they were running against him, had some questions. But now it's all kumbaya, we're all together, we're going to do the same dance, we're going to sing together, we're going to cut the cake and share and light candles and blow up balloons, and it's all happy times. Not really. Now, I'm going to look at some of the points that they're challenging him on. I'm going to break them down for you a little bit here, and then we're going to do more in the second hour, because the treatment that he got from the so-called press, so-called reporters, so-called journalists yesterday was sickening. Absolutely sickening. And I'm going to give you more details on that in the next hour. But your job as a journalist when you're covering the president or anyone is to ask some tough questions. That doesn't mean you had to be in your face shouting at them all the time. As I mentioned in the opening monologue, we don't have a Jim Acosta going after Biden as Trump had to face every day. Peter Ducey of ABC News, Fox News, was never even called on to ask a question. I will grant you that I think they probably did know what questions were going to come from. Ducey said, oh, I got a folder full of questions. So probably if one of the others had been asked, then he'd move to something else. But they never called on him. And that's part of the issue. But before I go into that in more detail, this question that Sean Hannity raised, we've all been kind of asking. Frank Gaffney Jr., the founder of Center for Public Security, which we had on yesterday on another issue, also raised it in one of his pieces today. And that is, who is in charge? Do we have Biden as a Pino president in name only? And is Harris actually doing it? Is his chief of staff, Ron Klain, Schumer, Pelosi, Barack Obama? The other day, Jen Psaki admitted, yes, Obama and Biden talk on the phone a lot. You know, they talk a lot. I mean, they got things that, Biden's picking up on and trying to deal with, the Obama health care bill, bring it back, make it stronger, this kind of thing. But I got to tell you, the concern many are having, and I think it's a legitimate concern, what we might really have underway here is a third Obama term. Did you vote to have Obama have a third term? You know, that's unconstitutional. Oh, I'm sorry. If you're a Democrat, you don't really give a about the C word, the Constitution. But if he's pulling the strings behind the curtain, making the puppet's mouth move, well, he's also got to tighten them up because they're not moving as effectively as they should. So Biden yesterday, some of the photographers got some shots, and maybe they didn't mean for it to be that damaging. You don't know. I mean, I don't know what the purpose of the intent was, but they're shooting pictures of him. And they see it, and then it gets blown up, and it's amplified, so you see exactly what he's got in front of him. He had a lot of notes, so let's hear the discussion referencing Biden notes.
It used to be required for the filibuster, and I had a card on this. I was going to give you the statistics, but you probably know them. That it used to be that from between 1917 and 1971, the filibuster existed. There were a total of 58 motions to break a filibuster. All the things that relate to infrastructure. We have somewhere, I asked the staff to write it down for me, and they did, not for this, but for a longer discussion. We have somewhere, in terms of infrastructure, we rank 13th globally in infrastructure.
You know, every time I've done an interview with someone, if I raise questions that deal with stats and details like that, I always tell them, look, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. If I ask one, you don't really know it, just say we'll come back to it or you'll refer to your notes. I have no problem with that. I mean, I don't carry those kinds of things around my head. I think it's always more important to know where to find them. But you can't remember that on infrastructure that we are the 13th in the world. I mean, that just that one number should stand out. I think I could put that in here. Maybe, maybe not. And relying on some of the other notes, again, I don't have a big issue with that. If you're starting to cite stats, I'd rather be specific. I refer to notes here all the time. I mean, good God, I've got tons of them over here. And I don't really like to go without them because I don't like to be stating something that's a fact when it's not, if I'm wrong. So I have no problem with him doing that. But the problem is it just a backup for reference points or is it a crutch? That's the issue. Former Clinton advisor James Carville, appearing on MSNBC, was questioned about the notes that Biden was referring to during the conference, as you just heard. And Carville says, I actually think the president was having fun today. I mean, when he took that jab at the former president, you talked? I mean, that's James Carville. I mean, I can't quite do his southern Louisiana Cajun accent, but I can come darn close to it. And I like having fun with Jim to that extent. But when it came to the question about the notes, he talked about, I haven't been in the Senate for 120 years, and I said to myself, it was 115 as I remember it. But I think he's having a good time. There's this idiot site, the Daily Caller. Are you taking a bar exam? He can refer to notes. That's the best he can come up with. He was using notes. No, actually, I could come up with a lot more than just the notes. And in fact, I'm one of the ones who would be willing to give him somewhat of a pass on the notes. And even as it was, he missed something. He missed something that had to be corrected. The White House later had to go back and correct a gaffe that he made. And yes, I'm referring to a note here because I want to make sure I get it right. He got the names of the Afghanistan president, Ashraf Ghani, and the controversial former head of Pakistan's military mixed up. And he referred to General Austin. I think he now knows that General Austin is the head of the Pentagon. Remember, he couldn't remember his name the other day. He said, General Austin just met with Kanye, and I'm waiting for the briefing on that. Well, the official White House transcript now says Ghani instead of Kanye. In fact, General Kanye had departed the Pakistan military in 2013. Leadership, according to the New York Times, leadership issues accused him of double-dealing and bad faith. So, again, I mean, that is something that could happen when you're live. I won't even hold that against him that much. But then the false claims he made and that they were not challenged. That's another failure of our press, our representatives that are supposed to be there questioning, interrogating, getting the facts and the truth. I'm going to let it play out. You can hear the remark he makes, and I will tell you no one questioned it. Go ahead, please.
When an unaccompanied child ends up at the border, we're just going to let them starve to death and stay on the other side. No previous administration did that either, except Trump. I'm not going to do it.
That's an out-and-out lie. That's not a mistake in notes. It's just a lie, suggesting that Trump was letting kids starve to death on the other side. And that's why Biden said yesterday, everything I've done, I would not change again. I've done everything we should. I got rid of all the bad Trump things. The bad Trump things? First thing he did, executive order, cancel the stay in Mexico rule that Trump had put in place so we didn't have everybody coming across the border all the time. If they want to seek asylum, they'd stay in Mexico. Father papers will adjudicate and then decide if they get to come or not. And getting Mexico to work with the Central American countries to shut down the flow of illegals from Central America going through Mexico. He also wiped that out. Then, of course, you have the whole issue about how Trump was handling things versus where we are with Biden. Biden wants to take a lot of praise. Well, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to take a lot of the blame that goes with it. And here he said that Trump was starving kids. That is a lie. Now, if you mean because they were not on our side so they couldn't get food, he didn't starve them. Their parents who brought them up here or sold them to coyotes or let them go with coyotes, and the coyotes weren't. You know, they get into the nation every year across Texas and Arizona in vast outreaches. Farmers come across bodies of migrants because they died in the heat, no water, no food. The coyotes just abandoned them. But they want to put this on Trump. So Ingram raised a question, and to Donald Trump, he made an appearance on the Laura Ingram show last night, and she raised a question reference what's been going on with the immigration, and because the Democrats are claiming we're getting more of these immigrants because Trump cut money. Here we go.
The Democrats are also saying that a problem here is that apparently, America is not sending enough U.S. taxpayer dollars to Central America to solve or alleviate this border crisis. Here was Nancy Pelosi today.
The president, then president, had withdrawn the money that was allocated for the Northern Triangle. Now, that was a mistake, and we have to restore that. They withdrew the money to punish those countries.
Mr. President, did you withdraw money from Central America to punish them?
Absolutely. That's right. I agree with her. First time in a long time, years, that I've agreed with her. We were paying them $500 million a year. Nobody knew what they were doing with the money, and they were sending criminals to our country. You know, when they're sending people in the caravans, as we call them, they're not exactly their finest.
No, they're not. And, of course, he used similar phrasing when he was president. And when he said they're not their finest, they're sending criminals, you had the left say, oh, Brown menace, he's afraid of the brown people. No, he's trying to protect this nation. That's his job as president, national security, and protecting our border. So as you heard him say, yeah, she's right, I did cut the money. And you know what the Democrats are doing now? They're sending $700 million down there in place of the $500 million that he took away. Trump has a warning for them. Listen, please.
When we got somebody, we captured a bad MS-13 or group, we'd bring them back to the country, and they wouldn't take them. And I said, what are we doing? How much money do we give them? We pay them $500 million a year. I said, stop paying the money immediately. We stopped paying. They called the following day. They said, we'd love to have MS-13 come back into our country. Please send them immediately, and we will not be sending any more bad people. And we then got along very well with them. So she's absolutely right. They abused us in so many different ways. They wouldn't take prisoners and murderers back, and we didn't want them in our country. So we'd bring them back. They wouldn't take them. I stopped paying the $500 million that we were wasting on giving it to them. As soon as I did that, they immediately agreed to take back everybody. They said it would be a great honor to take them back. Please send them immediately.
Isn't that great? Yeah, we'll take back the bad guys. Make sure the money keeps flowing. All right. When we come back on the other side of this break, let's talk a little bit more about the Hunter gun case. It's kind of been swept under the rug. Hunter Biden, please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
The story of the hot rod race with the Fords and the Lincolns was setting the pace. That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor and it's
this is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So we told you yesterday about this Hunter Biden story, that Hunter Biden might have lied on a federal form to get a gun. Now, I hear the Democrats all the time saying, we need more gun control. We need to tighten things down. We cannot let anybody cheat to get a gun, and they should be jailed, right? On Hunter Biden, everybody is silent. Here's the situation. Apparently in 2018, Hunter bought a gun. But to get the gun, he had to fill out, of course, a questionnaire, federal form they had to fill out. Now, with the question, it asked on there in the sense that, have you ever had, let me get the exact question here. Let me tell you first what he was doing. We know that he had been in rehab programs in 2003, 2010, 2014, after being discharged from the military for using cocaine. Even the New Yorker said he went on a cocaine binge in 2016. Remember his laptop, which everyone has tried to forget now. They got dropped off for repairs in 2019. Had information on there, including graphic photos and even pictures of Hunter and some of the drugs he was apparently using, or at least appeared to be. So when he went to apply for the gun, he had to fill out a firearms transaction record. And one of the questions on there is clearly, have you been convicted of a felon? Do you have any drug use, things of this nature? He lied. He said no. Now, it's unclear whether he was using drugs about the time he made the firearm purchase, but it asked, are you a user of illicit substance? And he had already been repeatedly doing it, involved in rehab houses and so forth. And you might say, okay, at that point, he was telling the truth. Well, then you have to answer for me that, why did the Secret Service apparently get involved in looking for the gun? Because the girlfriend took the gun, took it back to the store where he bought it, tossed it into a trash can. Now, the store owner, by the way, when Secret Service came to ask for the records, we want to see the records where Hunter Biden filled out so that you sold him the gun. The store owner would not give it to the Secret Service because he feared they would be trying to cover it up and You'd never see the light of day with it. He did turn it over to ATF, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, because they are in charge of overseeing the gun laws, not the Secret Service. And, of course, you had to ask, was the vice president at that time, Biden, was maybe he, by the Secret Service, thinking he could be in danger if his son has a gun? We don't know if that's the answer, because they won't even admit they carried out such an inquiry. Apparently, everybody in the Secret Service just, I don't remember, I don't know, I don't know what we did. But, of course, despite all of that and the questions around it, what's being done about it now? Yeah, not much. Despite his own guns irresponsibility and the Democrats pushing to make sure that American citizens do not get to buy guns, even if they are not dealing in drugs and they're good and law-abiding, they're going to continue to try to go after you. But on this thing with Biden, Hunter Biden, let it go. Well, some Republican senators apparently have some questions coming up, and they're going to be using that in some of the future nomination hearings they're going to be dealing with. So we're going to hear a lot more about that, and I'm glad. The other thing the Democrats want to forget is where they once stood on filibuster compared to where they stand now, specifically where Barack Obama as a senator stood. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed, and at the same time, will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler's still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
Love and happiness. But wait a minute, something's going wrong. Someone's on the phone. 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Talking about how she can make it right. Yeah.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
But the American people sent us here to be their voice. They understand that those voices can at times become loud and argumentative, but they also hope that we can disagree without being disagreeable. And at the end of the day, they expect both parties to work together to get the people's business done. What they don't expect is for one party, be it Republican or Democrat, to change the rules in the middle of the game so that they can make all the decisions while the other party is told to sit down and keep quiet.
Those are the words of Senator Barack Obama in 2005. As a senator, he was saying we need to protect the filibuster. It is, pardon me, it is important. It's vital. It's a part of our check and balance system. We should not take it away, because then you would have one party, be it my party or the other party, controlling everything and telling the other party, just sit down and be quiet. Now, filibuster is used in the U.S. Senate as a parliamentary procedure. They're using it to keep it from a measure being brought before the full Senate for a vote. That came about as a side effect of an 1806 rule change. It was used infrequently during much of the 19th and 20th centuries, and in 1970, the Senate adopted a two-track procedure to prevent filibuster from stopping all other Senate business. Efforts to limit the practice were to explicitly limit the time for Senate debate, But you get one senator up there, and he says, I'm going to talk and talk and talk, and he holds the floor, will not yield the floor. And based on the filibuster rules, as long as he's standing there staying in place, then no one else can take over the floor because he will not yield. Now, to give a fellow senator a break during that time, one other senator might start raising a question, raising a question by reading maybe four pages out of an encyclopedia and posing a question to go with it and giving, well, pardon me, I'm going to have to get a little drop of water here. All right, we'll try it again here. Sorry about that. Basically, not giving, in other words, giving the senator who's carrying out the filibuster some a breathing time and a little rest. So there was Senator Barack Obama in 2005 defending the filibuster. Yesterday, President Biden was asked, do you agree with Barack Obama, former President Obama, that the filibuster is reminiscent of Jim Crow laws? Yes, yes, Barack Obama changed his mind. He began to realize that, yeah, for our party, we want to use it, but we don't want the other party to use it. And when they use it, it's racist. Not when we use it, but when they use it, it's racist. It's referenced Jim Crow laws. And Biden agreed with that. Yes, I agree. He said, I agree with the president, former president, that yes, it is racist. It's Jim Crow. Well, I want to go back and pick up pick up Senator Obama in 2005 again, as he continued his remarks on the floor of the Senate at that time as a senator from Illinois and defending the filibuster.
President Barack Obama said he believed the filibuster was.
I'm sorry, that was a question coming up. We moved it around. I apologize. Let me reset that. That's my fault. There was a question, as I said, raised during the Biden news conference yesterday about what Obama had said and what Biden now thinks. Now, I kind of gave you an idea of what's going on, but I did want you to hear it direct as a question was raised and his response. And keep in mind, you just heard Obama making a defense of it. Here we go.
The American people want less partisan.
We want to go back and take the filibuster question. That was my fault. We'll take the second bite. That's totally my fault. Yeah. We'll take the filibuster question because we've already had that. So now the filibuster question, which we started a moment ago with the reporter asking the question, as we did a moment ago, because the reporter actually did raise the question that Barack Obama had been questioned about. We'll come back to that in a moment. Let's go to Trey Gowdy. Former congressman, never a senator, so he never had a chance to deal with the filibuster directly, but it was a congressman. And what he had to say about how the filibuster was being handled now compared to back in the past.
Mr. President, was it a racist relic when your vice president used it less than a year ago to stop police reform that was being authored by a black man named Tim Scott? Was it a racist relic when you used it, Mr. President?
That is what Trey Gowdy said somebody should have been asking, but they didn't. The question was to Biden, do you agree with President Obama when he now says it's a relic of Jim Crow era? And Biden said yes. But they've used it themselves. The Democrats have used it repeatedly. And as you heard Trey Gowdy said, what about when you guys were using it to stop a presentation by a black U.S. senator to fight against defunding police, and you guys wanted to use a filibuster to stop it then. You didn't consider it at that time. Well, another black representative in Congress, Republican Byron Donalds, also fired back about Biden injecting race in with the Jim Crow reference. Donalds of Florida said, and he again also goes back to 2005, as we were talking about Obama earlier, he said in 2005, then-Senator Biden said, at its core, the filibuster is not about stopping a nominee or a bill. It's about compromise and moderation. That's why the founders put unlimited debate in. That's what this is about, engendering compromises and moderation. He said, now you fast forward to today, and President Biden is irresponsibly injecting race and the travesty of Jim Crow to oppose the filibuster. And again, that's Congressman Byron Donalds of Florida, and he added, time after time, Democrats resort to the race card to shield them from having to answer for their hypocrisy and radical policies. So let's go again back to Senator Obama in 2005 as he preached and made his statements to defend the filibuster.
The American people want less partisanship in this town, but everyone in this chamber knows that if the majority chooses to end the filibuster, if they choose to change the rules and put an end to democratic debate, then the fighting and the bitterness and the gridlock will only get worse. Now, I understand that Republicans are getting a lot of pressure to do this from factions outside the chamber. But we need to rise above the ends justify the means mentality, because we're here to answer to the people, all of the people, not just the ones that are wearing our particular party label.
That is again Senator Obama in 2005. But of course now, in his view, it is all racist. It's all Jim Crow. It has nothing to do with any parts of law except racism. Chuck Schumer is another example of someone who is doing the flip-flop on it. Because Chuck Schumer had previously also defended the filibuster in 2005. He was fighting for it constantly, number of times over the past 20 years. It's been under scrutiny anyway. And again, it allows lawmakers to block legislation through unlimited debate unless 60 members move to a vote. Well, you're not going to have 60 members at this time because the way the Senate is divided. But the question for Schumer would be, well, why is it so important to you back then? Why is it valuable then? And you know what his answer was in 2005? He said, we're on the precipice of a crisis, a constitutional crisis. The checks and balances which have been at the core of this republic are about to be evaporated by the nuclear option. He said the checks and balances which say that if you get 51% of the vote, you don't get your way 100% of the time. And he added, because the others are defending it and he or want to take it away and he's defending it, he said the difference between us and them is they will change the rules, break the rules, misread the Constitution so they will get their way. That is coming from a Democrat, Senator Schumer, saying, we misread the Constitution. We read the Constitution. They interpret and rewrite it. But yet he's insisted that taking away the filibuster at that time in 2005 would be an abuse of power. Same thing that you heard Senator Barack Obama say a moment ago. And again, the question in today's time, why do the Democrats defend it in the past, and now when it might be used by Republicans, what's the difference? Oh, Schumer has an answer. He said the big difference is that we're always willing to negotiate in a bipartisan way. No, you're not. You're not. He wants you to believe that we're always willing to come together and work together. No, you're not. You're not always willing to do that. There's hypocrisy on both sides. I'm going to acknowledge that. But it is interesting, isn't it? When you look back as to when were they, it's kind of like following an earthquake graph, maybe. We had a big quake here, and over here it's been all quiet. Oh, here's another earthquake over here. It's politics. We understand that. And politics does try to use race and use it as a weapon against others, at least from the Democrat side. Wait to hear these stories coming up next.
Hello.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So here we go again, because the Democrats are going to do whatever they can to remake America, to transform America. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio announcing what he called an unprecedented racial justice commission. He said it's going to address the, quote, foundational sin of racism in this country. And he adds, we need to do something transformational at this point in our history, something unprecedented. And that's why I have this racial justice commission. They will have the power to send proposals to the ballot for voters to decide on after they do a review. And he said, we're going to examine the fundamental laws of New York City, the very basis of governance of this city, and determine if those laws themselves are either exacerbating institutional racism or helping us cure it. And it's going to be chaired by numerous people he's going to appoint. He said, this group will change the world. You do know that he's already basically told them, you're free to rewrite anything. Go in and challenge anything we have on our books. And if you label it part of the systemic racism, or that you don't think it helps in general, well, then you can rewrite it or ban it or toss it out, in the sense that you put it at least before the voters if it's needed. Do you really think, I have to ask you this, do you think they might look at all that and then decide, no, everything's good, we don't have to do a thing? No, of course not. Of course not. They are ready. They are ready. They've got to come back. They've got to come back with numerous changes, transformational changes. But he says, this group will change the world. If there's some issues that need to be resolved, I'm all for that. I am all for equality. But the problem is, if equality means someone else gets something and you don't, based only on skin color, isn't that going back to more racism? Yes, slavery was a stain on the country. You cannot deny it. It happened. We were wrong. It shouldn't have happened, but it did. And yes, many of the forefathers of this country were involved in slave trading and owning. A lot of things are wrong now that years ago they weren't. But certainly that has always, in my opinion, always been wrong. But you got to keep in mind, the American Indians also were dealing in slaves, stealing from each other tribe. And in South Africa, or in Africa in general, they were stealing from other tribes and making people slaves. And it happened in Old Testament days, before Christ, between the various groups that existed. Here's something I've not had time to get to previously. This happened late Monday. The city council in Evanston, Illinois, voted 8-1 to approve a plan in Evanston, Illinois, to approve a plan to make reparations available to black residents because of the past discrimination and lingering effects of slavery. This would be the first of its kind in the U.S. It would distribute $400,000 to eligible black households. The AP reports that qualifying households of the city of 73,000 would get about $25,000 for home repairs or down payments on property. And they say that's not enough. We need to do more. Now, the problem you have when you do that, I know, yes, most of the slaves in this country during that period of time of slavery were clearly black. But there were some white slaves, but let's put that aside, basically black. But if we're trying to bring everything together, I don't think this is going to help. I think you're going to look at white citizens saying, well, I could use some money too. I'm also suffering. So let me take you to what's happening in Oakland, California. The mayor of Oakland, California, rolling out a program that awards low-income black families, foreign nationals, and the homeless $500 a month. If there are white households living in the same equivalent poverty, if they're white, they're not a foreign national, and being white, they're not black, and if they have a property, they're not homeless, they're not going to get it. Is this going to build goodwill and bring folks together, or will it create another divisive barrier? If you're going to do that, and I don't think this is a good idea anyway, but if they're going to give out money like that, Why do you put it on low-income black families, foreign nationals, and homeless? And why don't you just say everyone of a certain low-income number? Majority probably would be black, maybe. I don't know, Oakland, California. But at least you don't make it clear what you're doing. This is not racial equity. It's, again, more racial inequity. It doesn't do nothing to foster, basically, the premise of Dr. Martin Luther King. Don't judge me on the color of my skin. Judge me on my ability and efforts. And we just can't seem to get away from it from some people. We're never going to end racism until we quit looking at things in basic color, that because color you're going to get this or because color you're not going to get it. Coming up in the next hour, Sidney Powell. Sidney Powell, one of the attorneys originally with the Trump campaign as they were chastising and battling some of the votes specifically involving Dominion voting systems. She's being sued by them for about $1 billion. Sidney Powell is going to be joining us in the next hour. I want to hear what she has to say. I think you do too. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.